No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
To the spotlight here on Fightful. I'm Jeremy Lambert. That's Steven Jensen. And shout out, as always, to last week's guest, Big Dick MLJ, for the intro. We appreciate Emil. We appreciate Moes for joining us last week. And we appreciate everybody here today for hanging out with us for the next hour and a half or so as we talk about everything going on in the world of wrestling. Jensen, football season's back. I know you're excited. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I am excited for the beginning of the football season. We don't need to get too into it. I've talked about it plenty the last few weeks. I have very, high hopes for our Minnesota Vikings this season. Although J.J. McCarthy is technically not a rookie, it is his first year starting after being injured last year. I did have my fantasy football draft this past week. It's year 18 of this fantasy football league that I started back when I was in high school. So I actually had a couple buddies over for the draft and stuff. So it was a good time. And I, of course, on my fantasy team, now keep in mind, we start two quarterbacks. It's a flex league. We also start defensive players. I have Justin Jefferson and J.J. McCarthy on my squad. Don't worry, everybody. Don't worry. I got both my guys. Also lucked out, got Bijan Robinson, which I did not expect to drop to me. And also, this is a hack for anybody out there that plays IDP leagues or independent or individual defensive players. I also picked Travis Hunter, which is smart because I can start him as a cornerback, but he's going to get wide receiver points. So that's like, unless, you know, ESPN and Yahoo and these, the places most people play off of, unless they, you know, decide to make a rule against it where like he has to be slotted as a receiver, which is still nice in itself because he's still going to be a receiver who also gets tackles on defense, could potentially get, you know, picks and stuff like that also. But yeah, I'm very happy. I do have Jordan Addison for my bench as well in case something happens to Jefferson. D'Lo Diggs says, you didn't get Thielen, LOL. I did not get Thielen. I was a little too deep on the Vikings at that point.
Anybody take Thielen?
Like, yeah, my brother did, but he won't start. He probably won't start him on his team. But like there's a lot of value in Thielen potentially the first 3 weeks because Jordan Addison is suspended. So Thielen will be the number two receiver. Well, in theory, he's the number two receiver. TJ Hawkinson could very well be the number two receiver. Technically, he's the tight end, Justin Jefferson, should have a great year as long as McCarthy can get the ball to him. And people sleep on McCarthy's legs too. Like he can run also. Like I think he's going to get more rushing yards than what people think. So I'm very happy with how my draft went. I'm very happy with what I've seen for the Vikings so far. And I also got your boy Bryce Young on my bench just in case. I stayed loyal to that. I was talking about that for the last few weeks, how I, even though I think he was a bit more valuable with Thielen in Carolina, I got a lot of hope for him. I think he has a lot of potential and they got a young receiving core. And if they can put it all together, and he's athletic, like he can move around and stuff too. Like I like him. So, and I've also got Sam Darnold. I picked four quarterbacks just in case. Also, my other starting quarterback is Geno Smith. And the reason I have him as my other starting quarterback is because I got Brock Bowers. So hopefully I got a good connection there between, you know, who's supposed to be the number one tight end projections wise. D'Lo Diggs says Hubbard's going to shred. Yeah, I think Hubbard's going to have a good season also. So, yeah, you still feeling, I mean, I know you didn't have like huge hopes for the Panthers, but you know, I think you got some stuff to look forward to heading into this year. So,
I mean, if we lose to the Jaguars opening week, then season's over. So you'll be happy to know I have Hawkinson on my team. That's the only Viking that I took, but I did take TJ Hawkinson. I figured my theory there was he's my starting tight end as well. My theory there was rookie quarterback, essentially. A lot of rookie quarterbacks like to just check it down to a safe option. Hawkinson's good, and I feel like he'll be a nice little safety blanket for JJ McCarthy. So that's why I went with him.
That's a very smart analysis. I think that's very, very possible that we're going to get that over the first 3 weeks, especially because there's going to be teams that are going to try to double team Jefferson, and then it's going to be like Thielen and Hawkinson are going to be open. I mean, so I think Hawkinson could have a really big year. Someone that no one's talking about is Hawkinson's backup, Josh Oliver, is really solid also. And I think Hawkinson's still going to have like a really big year, but I think that like Oliver will play more than people think, or they just don't know that we have like another good tight end that's probably going to get a lot of snaps, I think. But Hawkinson can go off because they can really use him like a receiver where he like runs downfield and catches like bombs for touchdowns and stuff. So yeah, I'm a big Hawkinson fan. Plus it was crazy because like a few seasons ago when we got him, we traded for him with the Lions, like in division. It's so crazy that we even got him to begin with. He was our general manager, Kwesi Adofemensa's first acquisition. His first big move when he became our GM was trading for Hawkinson. So anyways, I'm fired up, looking forward to the season. We got a lot of good wrestling to talk about today for everybody, so thank everyone here who is joining us for the show. And thank you, as Jeremy mentioned a moment ago, thank you to Mose, our good friend, who has joined us many times on the show. Looking forward to seeing what he does next and catching up with him, because he's always got so much going on. And then MLJ finally getting him on, you know, the guy with the intro finally. Sorry, what?
Mose is on the call for Dean next week, I believe. He's at least tweeting like he is on the call for Dean next week. So I'm going to assume he's on the call for Dean.
Okay, and that's next weekend?
Yeah.
So we will have a show on Thursday before that. I'll see if Mose is around, like, either heading into the show or coming out of the show. I would love to hear his thoughts on those are huge events. So Mose is the man. Can't say enough good things about that dude. Also hope he keeps getting more bookings, or you know, reps or whatever you call it in GCW. like, he pairs really well with Emil on commentary, so you know, he's done some really good stuff with them already. But you know, I think he could. The only dilemma for me as like a fan, like a consumer of like all this different indie wrestling, is he can't be two places at once, obviously. So it's like, you know, Action Wrestling and TWE and these other companies that I'm so used to seeing Mose like a regular part of. How often would he not be able to do that if he's doing GCW and vice versa? Like, he's a busy dude in high demand for good reason. He's great at what he's doing. So shout out Mose, as always, the homie.
We love Mose. We appreciate him and Emil joining us last week. And if he is on the call for Dean, we wish him luck. And hopefully we'll see if we chat with him next week. All right, Jensen, let's get into our topics here for the evening.
I need to finish the story. In the WWE, the story never finishes.
John Cena's story is going to finish in December, but before he gets to his end, he had a match with Logan Paul at WWE Clash in Paris. Thought this was a very, very good match. John Cena picked up the victory. He used various moves, including the Styles Clash, the End of Days. He returned with the Hurricane Rana and the Code Red, which we haven't seen out of him in forever. Babyface John Cena is back. We love Babyface John Cena. Jensen, I know you wanted to talk about this match, so what were your thoughts on it?
Yeah, this match ruled. As you mentioned, it was cool seeing him do those like throwback moves. The Angel's Wing seemed kind of random. Is there any tie-in to that? Is that like, does
he I believe trained with Christopher Daniels when they were coming up in California, like with the UPW connection.
That was the only link I could think of, because I remember Samoa Joe was there with those guys at that time and stuff. Yeah, which is super, it just seems super random. That's a really cool connection, though, if that's like what that was, like why he did that. Because they haven't had anything to do with one another's careers, like on screen at any point. But it's a great move. No one in the WWE, well, actually, no, Tommaso Ciampa uses it, doesn't he? But yeah, that's that match was awesome. You know, Logan Paul, I'm not even just saying like he's the best celebrity wrestler, like to cross over and do this, like, because he absolutely is, like, without a question. He's one of, listen, Bad Bunny has had some good performances. I'm not, and had arguably the best entrance I've ever seen. Like that entrance in Puerto Rico for Backlash a couple years ago was epic. Like, I got nothing bad to say about Bad Bunny. All right. But Logan Paul is one of the best wrestlers on the entire WWE roster. Like, every single time this guy has a match, he knocks it completely out of the park. This match with Cena was so good. The last two Cena matches, especially the last Cody match and this Logan Paul match, have by far been his best two matches of his run this whole year. And Logan deserves a lot of credit for it. Obviously, Cena deserves a ton of credit as well. Like, it goes both ways, obviously. But all the different moves they were doing, Logan Paul played his role perfect. He was stealing Cena's moves. They had really good reversals and sequences into stuff. I really liked, as you mentioned, the Styles Clash was especially cool, because like, it sounds like him and AJ probably aren't going to be able to have a match between now and the end of his run. But I think I saw something about like Cena wanted to wrestle AJ, just like wasn't in the, it's like not really in the work, like not really in the plans. So it's like cool that he still got to like pay homage to a guy that he has like some good history with. I always like seeing Cena hit a Code Red. Like, he's, I know he does that on a pretty regular basis, but it's still, you know, I've always loved Amazing Red, but it's just always cool. Like, this match, this was on like a higher scale and it meant a lot more. At the time of what I'm going to talk about, that meant a lot in a different way, but like, this reminded me a lot of like when he was doing the US title open challenge, when it was like Cena wanted to like prove himself and prove to the fans that he could wrestle in ring and wasn't just five moves of doom and just, you know, good at cutting promos or whatever, and only kids liked him or whatever, like, which is how I felt at the time. And then he totally, like, that's what turned the corner for me becoming a Cena fan, was when he started having banger matches on Raw, like, for that US championship, giving people like Stardust at the time an opportunity to have a good match. He was having banger matches with Sami Zayn and so many other people, and then it led to like that awesome feud with Kevin Owens, when Kevin Owens was the NXT champion, and like, that did so much for Cena's career and so many other people's careers. And like, this match with Logan Paul reminded me a lot of that, where it's like, he just went out there, John Cena just went out there and proved, like, he can totally go bell to bell. And when he's motivated and he's like, he's the man. Like, that match was awesome. And I think Logan, like I said, deserves a ton of credit also. Like, you know, that's a really high pressure situation to be in for him too. And it is every time he wrestles, and he just, He kills it every time. So I love this match. I mean, it sounds like you enjoyed it as well as a part of the C Nation.
Yeah, I really liked it. You know, there was some stuff on Logan's end that could have been cleaned up or didn't hit as well. His buckshot has slipped. It used to look really good, and I don't know what's happened, but it does not look good.
He lands
few
times. Fall away and has to like lunge at. Yeah, where Hangman kind of like lands closer. He like does the flip and kind of like lands his feet closer and just like nails a clothesline real fast. I know exactly what you mean.
And his uppercuts aren't good. Michael Cole can say Cesaro like, but no, those uppercuts aren't good at all. But overall, I did think it was a good match. You know, Logan played to his strengths. Babyface Cena is Babyface Cena. Like, he has his formula. It's very good. It's worked for a very long time. It works even more him being his final year. It works even more when he's in there against good opponents and he's not facing, you know, Solo Sikoa or Austin Theory. But when he's in there against a high caliber opponent in a main event spot, and he can go out there and do all of this stuff, he pulls that off very well. So no, I really enjoyed this match. It's cool. I'm sure you saw you referenced it in the post match comments as well, of Cena saying like he's paying homage to people that he can't wrestle because he knows he won't get to wrestle AJ on this run. He's obviously not going to wrestle Christopher Daniels. He's not going to wrestle Baron Corbin. So I'm very interested
Dolph
to see.
Ziggler,
like,
I forgot to mention like
Logan
did
the
zigzag.
Yeah. So I'm very interested to see, you know, in the matches moving forward, we know he's going to do the Brock match as his next one. Like what he pulls out there to pay homage to certain people and even, you know, past the Brock match to pay homage to people. You know, he's faced Punk. So we won't get the, we won't get a GTS. I don't think from Cena, cause he actually got that match. Is he going to do a spear to reference Edge, you know? Potentially he did did Logan do the electric chair in this match? I feel like there was an electric chair in this match, but maybe I feel like if Cena hit it, it would have been a bigger deal and a bigger talking point. But I think we'll probably get some type of reference to Edge, whether it's an electric chair or a spear. You know, there's countless other, I don't know if he's gonna do a pedigree to reference the rivalry with Triple H.
I thought that's what he was going to do when he did the Angel's Wings. Like, I thought he was setting up a pedigree, and I was like, oh, damn, the Angel's Wings, that was random.
It's tough because, especially on this show, if you're on the card with Seth, Seth typically hits a pedigree, and so you don't want to, you know, overdo the pedigree in multiple matches. So maybe on a show that he's not on with Seth, or if Seth is not doing a pedigree in a match, then we'll see Cena use it. You can do a super kick to reference Shawn Michaels. You think we'll get that?
I've never thought about that. I don't think we've ever seen him throw a super kick before. Yeah, Cody, that's the one Achilles heel of Cody Rhodes. That's the one he does not have a good super kick. He's got a little history with Rey Mysterio. I'd love to see a 619 out of John Cena. That would be really cool. Yeah. Something crazy off the top rope, maybe. I don't know who he's got history with that was like much of a high flyer. I have to think about that. He's just been around forever.
You think we'll see a clothesline from hell to shout out to JBL?
I mean, it would make sense. He won the title from JBL back in the day. Eddie, that's a good one. Power Driver Finisher. Yeah, Frog Splash off the top. Good call. Yeah. Good call. I like that. Hope we see that.
It'd be amazing if John Cena does a frog splash, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we might have seen the worst elbow drop from CM Punk this past weekend. Like, it's like always bad, but like,
yeah,
I think
you
especially
hate his elbow drop.
And I'm also comparing it to my favorite move ever, which is Randy Savage's version of it. Like, it's just not the same. Like, I've talked about it before. There's some people that do it justice, like someone like Warhorse. Really nice elbow drop off the top, like that he uses it. Eric Young, beautiful elbow drop. I'm totally fine with him using it. But like, yeah, CM Punk is just bad every time. But he just goes up there and just keeps doing it. But nobody ever stops him. Nobody ever, just let it happen. But yeah, I mean, I think that I think that, yeah, this run with Cena, it's coming to an end soon. I'm interested in this Brock match. I'm hoping he beats Brock. That'd be nice. I'd imagine he's going to lose his last match, probably, to whoever that's going to be. Has there been a lot of, like, talk or speculation at this point yet of, like, who makes the most sense for Cena in his last match?
There hasn't been too much talk about who it could be. I know you are on the Cody bandwagon. I feel like they've already done it twice. Why do it a third time at this point?
I'm kind of with you now on that. I feel like that's pretty complete, because it also, like, Cena already has made his turn back to babyface. Like, I feel like he's already passed the torch to Cody. So I've kind of lightened my stance at this point of, like, it needing to be Cody at the end. So I'm with you.
Yeah, so I don't know who it's going to be. My thought was maybe Seth, because I think there's storyline reason to there. And Seth is obviously a well-known opponent of Cena, so I think you can connect a few things on that. But otherwise, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to really think about it more, but, I mean, Seth makes sense. Also, you guys interviewed Bishop Dyer today, right?
Yes, yeah.
What did he say about Cena using the move?
He said it was very cool. He said he didn't know about it. He was like, my phone just started blowing up. He's like, oh shit, what happened? What did I do? And he didn't know about it. He thought it was cool of Cena, because, and then he saw the interview afterward, but he says Cena does, like, things like that, that people just, that one was very known. Obviously he was using the End of Days. It's a shout out to Corbin, but he said Cena does things that, like, people don't even know that are, like, little Easter eggs to give shout outs to people that, like, you would only know if you know, type of thing. He says he still talks with John regularly, even the stuff he's doing nowadays. And he just praised John as a good human and someone he goes to advice and just has good chats with. But yeah, if you have not seen the Bishop Dyer Baron Corbin interview, we talked for about an hour and 15 minutes. We were scheduled for 15, 20. That's what we typically do on the show. And so that's what I tell everybody. Like, are you good for 15, 20? And they're like,
no one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Yeah, sure, no problem. And yeah, we were cruising at an hour easy, and the only reason he probably didn't stay the whole time is because he had jiu-jitsu practice at 11:30, so he's like, I gotta go to practice. Otherwise he probably would have stayed the entire show. It was a very fun interview, and he was great. So yeah, anybody who has not seen that interview, we talked a lot of football, because, you know, he's a big football guy.
Yeah,
like, my opening question was he going to get invited to the Taylor Swift Travis Kelce wedding, since he's friends with Kelce. So, and then we just went off from there. So everyone go check out that interview. That was a lot of fun. But yeah, that was his comments. That was, like, the one wrestling comment I wanted to get from him, because I didn't think he'd done any other interviews. I knew he'd been on Busted Open, but I didn't know if Busted Open had talked about it, and or if he talked about it there. So I was like, we were like 20 minutes into the interview, we talked no wrestling the first 20, nice. 25 minutes. And so I was like, I got to get this one question in, because it's a hot topic right now. So, and then we did get into wrestling stuff. Yeah. We talked about the dog food stuff. We talked about, sad Corbin, happy Corbin. He did admit that the Chiefs pay off the referees. So,
oh, there, like, you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. Anybody who doesn't follow him or has formed an opinion on him based on his television character or anything like that, go watch that interview. And if your opinion is this person is not great, that will be your opinion after the interview.
Yeah, that's awesome. I always liked him. I mean, he just got kind of put in bad positions by the WWE, like over and over and over again. Like, I'll never forget them just straight up like bringing him out to the ring with the McMahons and pretty much just pointing the finger at him in front of the crowd and being like, he is the reason that all of this is bad, not us. I was like, wait, he's a character. You guys actually run the company. Like, yeah. And I know Pat McAfee, like, he's been friends with him since like college or something like that. Like maybe like early NFL college, something like that. But yeah, you always hear nothing but good things about him. Also, he's like a legit Golden Gloves boxer and stuff too. Like, so yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, he does jiu-jitsu tournaments.
Is he going to do MMA? Did you ask him? Has he thought about that?
I don't know. I think he was asked in a Van Vliet interview after he left WWE. I'd have to go back, and I probably did an article on it. But I don't know.
I think you're right. I think he did tell Chris Van Vliet that, like, oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm confusing it with Killer Cross. Killer Cross said that he got that out of his system. I don't remember. Sorry.
I think Corbin, it's something we could have asked them. And so for people that don't know, the link for ITW does not change. So any guest we get will always have that link. And we told him on the show, because he's like, oh, this is great. Like, you know, I'll come back. I was like, the link doesn't change. We are live 10 a.m. to noon every single weekday. So if you want to pop on the show randomly at any point, use the link you used today. So I feel like he might take us up on that offer. So I don't think this is the last time we have talked to Bishop Dyer. So I'm sure I'll get a chance to ask him that in the future. But he does do jiu-jitsu tournaments and does them very well. He won 2 golds his last tournament last month, or maybe it was in July, but it was one of his most recent tournaments.
Hell yeah, good for him. And he's doing good in MLW, one half of the tag champs with Dijak. So
yeah. Yeah, we had Dijak on yesterday. So
nice. Good stuff.
We have Deonna Purrazzo and Steve Macklin on tomorrow. So busy week with everything. All right. Anything else with Cody and Logan Paul? Or Cena and Logan Paul.
Sorry. Whoa, wait, what? You just confused John Cena and Cody Rhodes? Yeah. No, it was awesome. That match ruled. I'm very proud of both guys. Looking forward to seeing what Logan does next. He needs to get some big wins, some big singles wins in some of these feuds coming up. But Cena was the right guy to win this weekend. Like, don't get me wrong. And that crowd reaction ruled too. And like the kid being in the crowd and everything from like the heel turn and all that, everything came full circle. The Paris crowd, like for Cena's entrance and throughout the match and stuff, they were just white hot for Cena. And it makes you really question like the whole, like obviously in hindsight, they shouldn't have turned him heel, but it's like, this is what it should have felt like the entire year. You know, like the matches like this type of environment, him wrestling those types of matches and stuff like that. But no, I'll leave it at that. It was awesome. And, you know, I'm looking forward to Cena versus Brock, and I'm looking forward to whatever Logan does next.
My WWE spotlight is the potential return, the seemingly confirmed return of AJ Lee. So the end of Clash in Paris was Becky Lynch costing CM Punk the WWE World Heavyweight title, hitting a low blow, allowing Seth to stomp Punk into the chair. Becky and Seth reunite on screen. You know, Becky has mentioned her hot husband in many promos since the heel turn. They were together on screen in 2019. We did talk to Corbin about that, about giving the end of days to Becky Lynch. But they've not really been on screen together since then. Now they're back on screen as the new heel power couple in the company. And everybody immediately pointed to, oh, is AJ Lee going to return with CM Punk? And it does appear, based on multiple reports, including Fightful Select, AJ Lee will be making her return to the ring at WrestlePalooza. Jensen, I don't know your thoughts on AJ Lee. Like, where are you at on your AJ Lee fandom?
I need to plug something in to my laptop so it doesn't die. Oh, no, I mean, I had props. No, sorry.
Yeah.
I just realized I forgot to plug my laptop in whenever I started the show. But, no, we're good now. We're good. Okay. We're good for the whole show now. So my thoughts, what's really funny is, so I just started randomly getting notifications on a tweet that I had made from 2015 that said, like, it's sad seeing a lifelong wrestling fan retire in their prime. Like it was like under the, like it was under like the AJ Lee's released tweet from 2015.
Okay. Yeah.
And in it, I like quoted like, added CM Punk in it and everything. I don't know if this is even going to be controversial. Probably is. And people are just going to think I'm a because I'm such a CM Punk hater. I don't really care that much about AJ Lee coming back, honestly. Like, I think that, like, she had some interesting stories where she was, like, the crazy girl who was, like, with Danielson and Punk and Kane. Like, I remember all that. I'm almost positive WrestleMania 30, because I was in the crowd for the Raw after WrestleMania 30. She was the champion when Paige debuted, right? Like, Paige came out and beat her for the Divas Championship.
Yeah.
I remember that. Like, that was a cool moment for one of my favorite, like, that Raw after WrestleMania 30 is one of my favorite shows I've ever been to live. I had such a good time at that. Were you at that? Did you go to WrestleMania? You were at WrestleMania 30 for Danielson winning.
Yeah.
Were you at the Raw after WrestleMania?
I was not at Raw after. No. Oh, okay. We were driving back. Yeah.
Gotcha. I mean, that's really, and she was like the GM or whatever, wasn't she, at one point? Something like that. Like, maybe
she did have some type of authority figure role from what I recall.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think a lot of people glamorize a lot of this because she's CM Punk's wife. Like, I'm just going to keep it real. Like, I mean, I think she had like a decent run, but she wasn't around very long. I'm not blaming her for the era she was around, but like, there wasn't that many good women wrestlers in the Divas era. And even if they were, like, the WWE didn't let them be good wrestlers. Like, this is before they were doing that, you know, unfortunately. She is a lifelong fan, and I give her that credit. Like, there's like pictures of her doing, like, you know, the autograph signings and getting pictures with, like, you know, when she's a kid and stuff like that with the wrestlers. Like, I respect all that. I don't have anything against AJ Lee. I really don't. I love their little dog, Larry. Like, I think that dog's super cool. But like, and I think it's cool that AJ, like, you know, had like a life out of wrestling. She was an author, or still is, I'm sure. I don't keep up with it too much, honestly, like personally, but I know she's been successful outside of the WWE, like independently. So, you know, I got respect for her. I don't have anything against her. I feel like the WWE fans, there's like a portion of the fan base. How do I even explain this? Like, they will get hyped up over stuff that they don't even know why they're hyped up over it. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
Like, I know, like, I've talked about this guy before. I won't name his name, but there's like a friend of a friend that I've talked about on the show before that, like, has become really obsessed with certain wrestlers, but he only got into wrestling like within like the last year. Had no opinion of wrestling at all a year ago. Didn't watch, couldn't even tell you Cody Rhodes was a year ago. He's so WWE brained because of like the way he consumes it and like whatever podcasters or whoever like is influencing his wrestling opinions, whoever he's following on social media, like, he is obsessed with the idea of AJ Lee returning, and he has never seen AJ Lee perform. But he's like massively hyped up about this potential AJ Lee return because he knows that it's CM Punk's wife and it's going to be this big tag team match that, but it's like, I feel like that's probably a lot of the fan base, to be completely honest. Like, how many people that currently watch the WWE right now were like massive AJ Lee fan? I mean, some of the adult fans like us, I'm sure, but the majority of the fan base is too young to even have an opinion on AJ Lee. She didn't have a long career. Tell me when I'm telling lies.
I think that some of the influence, there are a lot of people who are older, who are our age, who lived through the AJ Lee era and really love her. And I completely understand. I'm not going to pretend like I was a huge AJ Lee fan, but I also recognize that she was in an era where they didn't get a ton of time to wrestle. She had a unique look for the era. She was good in ring. I'm not, again, not going to pretend like I can recommend you the top 10 AJ Lee matches because most of them were under 5 minutes. But her character work was always very good. And the fact that she was involved in many prominent men's storylines as well kind of helped her stand out on top of that. I think a lot of people put her higher up because of the era, because she went away, stayed away, and, you know, just never really talked a ton about wrestling. She came back for the little stint about WOW, but you know, that wouldn't, you know, that didn't really lead to anything. It was just commentary. It was WOW. It was very under the radar. There wasn't a ton of traction with that. She never really talked bad about her time. She's never really talked about it at all. You know, she hasn't done like a ton of interviews about it. She just kind of did her own thing. And I think a lot of people have respected that. And I think they have seen the people who did live through it, see just how everyone talked well about her. And so they're just kind of excited off of that. And it's not even just people online, like the stands and everything. People like Roxanne are huge AJ, Bailey, huge AJ fan. Naomi, huge AJ fans, like, oh, we like Bailey, we like Naomi, we like Roxanne. They love AJ. They were influenced by AJ. Okay, then we should love AJ,
yes,
as well.
You're so 100% I think, yeah, right that, about all of this.
So I think that has like kind of almost built the legend more than maybe her actual accomplishments are in total of. But I also don't want to underplay her accomplishments for the era that she was in, because she was that really bridge between sort of that the Trish era of divas and then the Revolution era of, you know, the Four Horsewomen and everything. Like AJ and Paige was kind of that bridge there of, oh, this is how we move forward into the next era of women's wrestling, and we can't discount her role in that.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you actually just kind of like reinforce everything I just said. Like, I don't disagree with any of that.
Yeah.
You know, I just, like Powder Finisher said, they're off the idea that she was a trailblazer or a person that opened the gates from divas to women's era. I wasn't watching at the time. So, that doesn't matter so much if you weren't watching at the time. I think your point is valid. I don't view it like that, but I should say that I never really looked at AJ Lee like that personally. I never viewed her as like a female version of CM Punk. CM Punk, for all the things that I've said about CM Punk over the years, he was a martyr. Like back when he quit the WWE, when he was like the number one merch seller, him and John Cena at the top of the company, and he quit the WWE, he bit the bullet and did like open it up for guys like Bryan Danielson and like to become what they became. Like I never viewed it like when AJ Lee left, like that was like the spark that like, cause you have to move a little bit farther to like Paige and a little after Paige to where you get to the women's revolution that you're talking about with the Four Horsewomen. But there is like, technically kind of, there is like a bridge gap there. I'm not going to completely, I can buy that idea a little bit more now. Like I was not thinking about it like that, but I could see AJ Lee kind of being in that conversation of one of the few women of that era who did bridge that gap, who maybe had she stuck around longer would have been a much bigger part of like the women's revolution and all that kind of stuff. Kind of similar to if CM Punk would have stayed around as well, probably, or at least come back a lot earlier than he did. So I think a decent point can be made, but I think my other points are valid as well too. I think there's also a lot of like overhyping the return in general, but it's also like it's the WWE. Like if Jericho comes back, it's going to be humongous. Like there's going to be a lot of people. I mean, I'd say the same stuff about that. I've never seen Chris Jericho. Like I think his accomplishments are, I mean, he's one of the best wrestlers of all time, in my opinion. It's not apples to oranges, but like you know my point that I'm making, like. The WWE is going to hype this up. I don't think there's like an expectation of her like sticking around. Is there like, it's probably not going to be like a long run.
I don't know how long it's going to be, but I do think there is, it seems like there's an expectation that it's going to be more than a one-off. I don't know. I do not know how long that's going to be, but it wouldn't shock me if it continues past this show.
You know, and all this to say, if she came back and she has a great performance in this whatever you want to call it, intergender mixed, however they're going to label this thing between Punk, Rollins, Becky, and AJ, however they do this. And I'm sure there'll be like a one-on-one match, you know, I'm sure there's expectations of one-on-one match between AJ Lee and Becky. You would think that they'd probably want to do that also. Yeah. So look, if AJ comes back, she looks like she's in great shape. I'll absolutely give her that. Like, I think that if she comes back and she has some great performances, especially if she sticks around for a while, like that would be cool to see her have like a real run and like prove, like literally kind of prove me wrong. Right. Like if she came back and like had awesome matches with this generation of women and essentially prove like, see, this is what I wanted to do back then and just didn't have the opportunity. Like she could totally stick it in my face. You know what I mean? Like, cool. And as a wrestling fan, I'd like to see it. Like, I want to see good wrestling.
My expectations for her return, honestly, are not that high for kind of reasons you've mentioned. It's been 10 years. Even at her peak, it's not like she was doing long matches or she was known as like a great ring general or anything. You know, when CM Punk was gone for as long as he was gone, 7 years, 8 years, whatever it was, you know, there was obviously the questions of, oh, okay, what does CM Punk look like 7, 8 years later? But Punk at his peak in ring was also a really great performer. Like he had a ton of classic matches built up. So you could at least in your mind envision of what CM Punk would look like in ring for a return. I don't really know what AJ is going to look like in ring for a return. I think having the first match be kind of a mixed tag match. I mean, not even kind of, it is, it will be a mixed tag match. She's in there with Becky. Becky, if nothing else, is very straightforward, ring general, solid in the ring. The Nikki match was a little rough this past weekend. I don't know if some of that stuff was her fault or if some of that was on Nikki, but there was some stuff that they were on two different pages there. But otherwise, you know, Becky is about as solid as you can get because Becky's not gonna do more than she needs to do out there. She's very much, and this is sometimes to a detriment, very much like Bayley, very much like Natalya, where you know kind of what the floor is on their matches, and they'll get you, they'll make sure they're at that floor, and then if they're in there with, you know, really capable, even more capable performance, there's a high ceiling to that stuff. But you know the floor is safe with a person like Becky. And the fact that it's a tag team match, Seth and Punk are going to do kind of a lot of the heavy lifting anyway. So I think this is a good match for her to return on where my expectations aren't super high on it. And I think she'll, as long as she looks crisp with her stuff, she's probably, you know, going to get You Still Got It and This Is Awesome chance. So.
Probably. They'll probably get This Is Awesome chance before the match even starts. But I'm also hoping she doesn't like lean too much, and this isn't to say that she will, but like if she's out there doing like GTSs and Anaconda Vices and like doing like the like step up like knee in the corner, if she's like doing CM Punk's moves, that's lame to me. Like I want to see like her doing your own. I'm sure there'll be a little bit of them like getting cute with one another, probably doing some of their own stuff, but like I don't want her coming back and just being like a CM Punk, you know, like beep. I want to see, you know, AJ Lee, like, you know. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. At least the WWE, you know, fans have this to look forward to. Like, I mean, I'm gonna watch it just like everybody else, so I hope that it's good. But I mean that was what everyone thought immediately, and then I don't know if it was like photoshopped or what, I saw it's like some sort of screenshot about, did like WWE shop or something, like, yeah, straight up just like say she was coming back.
Yeah, I don't think that was photoshopped. I think they just screwed that up and then deleted it. WWE shop they flat out said AJ Lee's return to the ring, and then somebody got yelled at over that one, I'm sure, and that got deleted. So
that's funny. Yes,
they did kind of put that out there. We'll see if she shows up on SmackDown tomorrow. It's in Chicago. You know, we shall see what the, if she's there. Brock is supposed to be on the show. My suggestion or my way of doing it is I would not have her on any show until WrestlePalooza.
Mystery guest.
Not even a mystery. Honestly, like,
well, everyone already knows who it is. So
everyone knows you can announce it. Like you can legitimately announce it that, hey, it's going to be CM Punk and AJ Lee. You can tease it of like CM Punk can say WrestlePalooza, Seth tag team match. You bring my wife. You bring your wife. I'll bring my wife. You can say that, like, be as strong handed as you want. Legitimately announce it if you want to. But I would not have the first appearance be until WrestlePalooza, because then not only are you getting the first match back, you're getting like the big return pop. You're getting the big music hit and everything for that show. You're making that show even more of a must see. It's like, not only do you see her first match, like, this is the first appearance you're going to see.
Yeah, I'm with you. The only thing that could throw a wrench in that is like the timing of Chicago being soon. Like, that's the only other place that it would make sense to maybe do that. But I completely agree with you though. Like, definitely you get the biggest pop, biggest reaction, biggest moment and everything if you waited until WrestlePalooza to have her show up for the first time. I'm with you.
All right, let's move to the AEW spotlight.
Over a million fans and a great number in the demo tuned in. And it was a great show, and I think it's been a run of great shows.
Demo number is unfortunately not true anymore. Neither is the million fans portion, because this show last night did the worst viewership number in the
I didn't know.
I don't put too much stock into it. It's whatever. I don't know what to believe when it comes to these TV numbers and why they're down. It was down across the board. SmackDown did its lowest number as well, ever, like non-preempted number. So. NXT was actually up, so there you go. NXT still drawing.
NXT was up. That's crazy.
Yeah. NXT still drawing. Dynamite was very down, and SmackDown was very down. So again, how much stock you want to put into it is up to you. We'll see if it changes anything moving forward. One thing that did change is the AEW All Out time slot, as it has moved from 8 p.m. Eastern to 3 p.m. Eastern. Jensen Tony saw WrestlePalooza. He saw AJ Lee's return, and he decided he did not want to compete with WrestlePalooza. Do you feel any type of way about them moving times here?
So I brought this up last week, and I said, remember, I was like, I asked if they had changed it, and you said, No, they haven't. And I said, you know, if they did, it would feel like they were getting bullied. Now, I'll say this, like, Tony Khan couldn't, like, he was in between a rock and a hard place. Like, he couldn't have been right either way in this situation, because, and this isn't me, like, coping for Tony Khan. This is just, like, honestly the position that I think he was in. Either you move the show to not compete, which is honestly the smarter business decision, because your WrestlePalooza is the big ESPN debut. They're going to be hyping the hell out of this thing. It's going to be like all over ESPN programming. McAfee show, I'm sure, all week is going to be talking about it. I'm sure that Sports Center is going to be showing WWE. They're going to be interviewing the wrestlers on ESPN all over the place. Like, this is going to be a really big deal for the WWE. And now, there's also a conversation you could also have. Like, the AEW fans are going to watch the AEW pay-per-view either way, I think. Like, no matter when it airs. Like, they're going to choose to watch the AEW show. But there is a portion of the fan base who is going to pick or choose one or the other to watch live. And it is the smartest thing business-wise for Tony Khan to do, to move the show. But he's doing that at the expense of, like, allowing himself to get bullied by the WWE. But on the flip side, if he just leaves the show where it is and the show isn't as successful as most of the AEW pay-per-views are, then he's going to be looked at as a bad business guy, because how you should have known to move it, because, like, of course you're going to have lower numbers if you're going to go head-to-head with WWE, whether you were there first or they were there first. Like, it's the WWE. It's the show on ESPN. Why wouldn't you move? So I think that Tony Khan was in a no-win situation, either way when it came to this. I personally think it was the right move. As a wrestling fan, I like the move. Like, obviously, I have multiple TVs. I can watch whatever at the same time, as I'm sure most people can at this point. Everyone's got multiple screens. You can pull stuff up off your phone and so on and so forth. The better thing for me as a fan is, like, being able to enjoy one show, pay full attention to it, watch it all the way through, and then flip over to the next one and do the same thing and just have, like, just make a day of it. And so from a fan perspective, I like that Tony moved it. As a fan of AEW, I don't honestly have an opinion on it one way or the other, because I think Tony couldn't have made the right decision. There wasn't a good option for him. No matter what he decided to do, people were going to, you know, have strong opinions against what his decision was going to be.
I don't love that they got bullied off of the spot. I would have liked it if they just held their spot. They were there first. They announced their show first. Here comes WWE. They want to load up this show and try to undercut viewers and take viewers from them. And AEW acquiesced to that. I understand Tony's perspective, though. I understand it probably makes more, as long as he can work it out with the arena, as long as, you know, you are in some ways hurting the people going to the show and the people planning for this show, because they were planning, like, they might have had afternoon plans. Now their afternoon plans is going to the show. So you don't know how that's going to affect things. As far as, I guess it becomes a, and I assume they have this information, or they've at least, they have enough information to make this decision. Does it hurt you more if we move the show to the afternoon? And All In did a great number in the afternoon. All In was also announced for the afternoon well in advance, and that's their biggest show of the year. And WWE tried to compete with an NXT show, and honestly, WWE looked kind of silly coming out of that. Do they do better numbers in the afternoon compared to what they would have potentially lost for running against head-to-head with WrestlePalooza? I assume they have that kind of data of, like, you know what? We would do 120 in the afternoon. We would only do 100 in the evening because we're going to lose 20 to WrestlePalooza. At that point, it's like, okay, well, do the afternoon show because it makes more sense to get more attention on the show. I understand why Tony did it. He cares about the fans first. He doesn't want the fans to choose. He doesn't want to lose viewers to, you know, the competition of, like, oh, well, more people are now going to watch WWE. Again, I don't think he wants the fans to ultimately be in a position to choose. One, because WWE has the stronger fan base. That's just proven fact. Most of the fans are going to choose WWE. Will hardcore AEW fans choose AEW? Yes, of course. Those are the sickos. But with WWE, especially putting AJ Lee's return, there are a good number of AEW fans who are like, oh, wait, AJ Lee is coming on this show? Okay, I care more about this. And they're throwing on EO and Vakur. And, you know, a lot of AEW fans are also big women's wrestling supporters. They might not like the Brock stuff. They might not care about Cena's nostalgia run. But they see Vakur and EO. They see AJ Lee's return. And they're like, all right, I will watch that over AEW for this. And again, I don't think Tony wants fans to choose. I think he wants everybody to watch everything, because Tony wants to watch everything.
Well, you know, I agree with the stuff Piledriver Finisher saying in the chat also about, like, and TJED316 in the chat also, I've been thinking about this also, and this is part of the point I was making too, where, like, Tony was, you know, caught between a rock and a hard place, but you also, I do agree that, like, it isn't good to set a precedent if you're AEW that you're going to get bullied like this all the time by the WWE. And, like, like, what I mean by this is, like, I'm not to say the WWE is going to do this, but we just say, hypothetically speaking, they just decide, okay, we're just going to do a 8-hour long extravaganza on that day instead. Like, we're just going to, like, if, like, they move their show to just keep, they just keep moving it to where AEW's at. Just like, all right, we'll run shows then too.
Very possible.
And then, but at some point AEW needs to, like, not be, you know, like, they can't just keep moving. Like, they gotta just, like, stand their ground at some point, just be like, all right, we're gonna bite the bullet here. Whatever happens, happens, but we're not gonna let them move us around anymore. So I think there's that aspect of it also, where I think that because Tony has moved the show, even though, once again, as a fan, I like that he moved the show, as a business move in the short term, I think it was smart for him to do this. I don't fault him at all for doing it, but I do think that WWE is going to just continue to counter program AEW shows, and then it's just going to keep putting AEW in a bad spot of, like, having to decide if they want to move the show. And that's not good for the fans. You don't want to have to make it a regular thing. Like you were saying, like people in the chat are saying, where you're planning for these events, you have friends that want to, like, another part of the problem. I run into this problem all the time. I have friends that will come to wrestling shows with me that aren't wrestling fans. And if, like, something changes, like, they don't care about going that much, you know what I mean? So it's like, you know, obviously if you buy tickets in advance and they're expensive and stuff, that's a bit different. But my point is, like, you know, if you were going to a pay-per-view and then you're like, oh, I don't really want to spend my entire, like, I wanted to do this at night, but I had other stuff I wanted to do during the day. Like, and now the whole, like you said, your whole day is shot. Your plans are shot. Your friends might not be able to come along anymore or whatever. Like, it's just, cause that sucks too. If, like, you want to go to a show and then, like, you're, like, friends drop off, like, you don't want to go by yourself, you know, you're the only wrestling fan in your group of friends or whatever. So, like, I just know that AEW can't keep getting bullied by, like, I'm a little surprised also that Tony is letting it happen, considering, remember that like press conference he did, like, a couple years ago? It had to have been around the time the CM Punk stuff was happening.
It was when probably I'm not going to take this fucking shit.
Yeah. Thing. Yes.
That was
the
CM Punk press conference.
Yes. And it's like, this is the opposite of that, because, like, this, you are getting bullied. That's just the honest truth. Like, you're getting bullied and they're forcing you to move your shows. So, like I said, I don't fault them for doing it. As a fan, it helps me out. I like that. I like the move, but yeah, AEW just can't make it a regular thing. At some point, they just got to just stand their ground. So,
and that's what I thought they were going to do here. And clearly they didn't, because I'm on your side when it comes to that of, all right, WWE is not going to have a Brock Lesnar, John Cena match every month. They're not going to have an AJ Lee match every month, but, and this is something I've pointed out before, of ESPN has said, you know, one of the things they've liked about WWE is they're very flexible with their schedule. And if they need programming, and I think you're going to see this fair amount when football season is over, if they need programming for, you know, a certain weekend, WWE is willing to move their shows or accommodate with that programming. So it's very possible that, especially come, again, end of football season, March, Revolution. I know WWE has some set show. The Elimination Chamber is now in March. What's stopping them from running Elimination Chamber on the same night as Revolution? They can clearly announce a show less than a month in advance and it be on the platform, and they can still sell a good number of tickets and still do good business with it. Again, they're not going to have Brock and Cena every single month. They're not going to have an AJ Lee return every single month. They got enough talent, and they don't do but so many matches anyway, to where you can put something on those shows. And at some point, yeah, Tony's just got to not move off the spot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. We'll see what happens going forward, but yeah, I don't think it's going to necessarily stop anytime soon. I mean, like, they can have, WWE really does have a super flexible schedule. Like in hindsight, and this is not against the women wrestlers, because I know I was kind of like harsh on AJ Lee, and this is not, I like women's wrestling. Okay. I'm an advocate for it. Marsha Slamovich is like my favorite wrestler in the world. In hindsight, like, do you feel like they only even like did the Evolution pay-per-view like so they could get out of the Peacock deal faster? Like, you know, because like some of these shows like came up, you know what I mean, right towards the end, and it was like, okay, now we've fulfilled our thing and can get over to ESPN because we added extra shows last second.
I don't know what to believe on that. I don't think that Evolution really changed anything, honestly. Maybe it did. I think both sides were almost in agreement that, all right, we can end this deal if we want to, if we need to. I feel like they maybe hit their show total even before that. I feel like NBC was maybe even disappointed with the Saturday night's main events number, because those are just off NBC. So they're just straight up. I mean, John Cena's last match is just on Peacock. It's not an NBC special. The Saturday night's main events numbers were down every single per event. They built Goldberg's last match. That was down compared to the previous events. Like, running against All In didn't really work for them. It didn't gain the buzz that I think they thought it was going to. So I don't think they ran Evolution as a way of, oh, we're, I think Evolution was more, again, like, let's run against All In because we want to run against All In. But yeah, I don't think that they did any type of, we ran Evolution to get out of our deal early. I don't know if that's like the full story of they were just able to, they fulfilled their quota, because it was never about a quota. They signed a 5-year deal. It was never about like, you have to hit this number. It was 5 years.
Well, that's what I'm confused about, because like, if it was 5 years, why wouldn't Peacock hold them to that? It makes no sense for them to let them go to ESPN early if they didn't fulfill whatever deal they had. There's too much money involved for them to just be like, oh yeah, just go to ESPN. No big deal. We'll just lose you early.
Well, that's why now just the Saturday night's main events are there. They still have the library and everything. And I think the WWE numbers, the event specials did good, but I think the NBC numbers were a little bit disappointing. And I think there was just also still money involved. Like, who's to say there wasn't money involved of like to get out of the deal early. And they're like, okay, right. Well, we're not really losing anything on this. So sure.
That's true. We don't know. For all we know, like NBC Universal, like got money from Disney, ESPN to like, yeah, that's fair. We don't know what went on behind closed doors to make these deals happen. Cyclops is better than Wolverine with the super chat, says Jensen. Why do you hate women's wrestling? Appreciate the super chat. We appreciate you always being here. Cyclops, loyal viewer of the show. I obviously don't hate women's wrestling, but I think that, like, you know, I think this could apply, this logic that I'm talking about could apply to any show. It just happened to be Evolution that we're talking about, but it was like, it was just so random that they added a whole weekend of Atlanta pay-per-views. They had like the show, the NXT show at Center Stage, and then they had the back-to-back nights at State Farm, used to be Phillips. Evolution just seemed like the one that was like the easiest to just kind of whip up out of nowhere. Cause it's like, we haven't done this show in like 5-6 years or whatever it's been. We got a stacked women's roster. We'll just do Evolution too, cause we got to do a pay-per-view. It was just like, but the show wound up being good. So this is where I'll say, Steven Jensen hates women's wrestling. No, the Evolution show was actually, there was a lot of really good stuff on the Evolution show. And I've really enjoyed, you know, the stuff that like Rhea Ripley has done, especially over the last couple of years, and like what she's currently doing on the WWE show. I got massive, massive high hopes still for like the career of Masha, of course. I just mentioned her, but Jordynne Grace, like I've been a big advocate of hers even since she was on the indie scene. Like, there's a lot of women that Chris Statlander over in AEW hasn't even hit her prime yet, and she's already as good as she is. Like, there's a lot of women that I'm very, very, very high on in the world of wrestling. I just wasn't a big AJ Lee fan back in the day, and the Evolution pay-per-view came out of nowhere, and then, like, the deal was up with Peacock, and I was like, this is kind of weird. That's it, all right?
Clearly.
Not defending myself anymore. Yeah.
Clearly you hate women's wrestling.
Yes, I hate women's wrestling so much. It's the worst. All these women who could literally out-athlete me, out-strength me, out-cardio me, out-everything me. These women are incredible what they're doing right now. We're going to talk about Athena in a minute, too. We're talking about her. I've got a lot of respect for her.
Your AEW spotlight was pal of the show, friend of the show, Adam Priest.
Yes.
Get some more TV time and getting a match on Collision this upcoming week. He's going to be taking on him and Tommy Billington are going to be taking on FTR. So. And on Dynamite last night, he got into it with FTR. Jordan Oliver got his ass beat, unfortunately. Adam Priest was there to try to help him out a little bit.
Man, that was awesome. I was marking out watching that for both him and Jordan. Like, Jordan Oliver, we talked about him a lot on our show. Still one of, like, the top people that I would want to interview that we haven't. We got to manifest that into happening sometime soon. I got so many things to talk to him about. He's accomplished so much in his young career. He's so good. I mean, Al Price are an incredible tag team right now as well. But it was cool seeing Jordan in there. You know, and he's also filling out more too. Like, that was a kind of a knock on Jordan, was like his frame. You know, he needed to kind of put on like some more size. But he's like a pretty tall guy. Like, when he really fills out, like, he's a big dude. So, like, Jordan, I think, is going to have, like, a really, really big career on, like, the main stage in either AEW or WWE at some point in the future, for sure. But, yeah, last night it was, like, but, like, that's a lot of faith in him, obviously, right? Like, he was the one who was chosen out of the group to, like, to sell that pile driver. And, yeah. You know, so, like, Jordan's the man. And then, like, I don't know. So, before I talk about Priest, do you know what happened to Bust Open Dax? Like, how did he even get, like, it was like out of nowhere, his head was bleeding. I know that they were like, it was a scuffle, but I don't know. It seemed like it was hard way. Like, something had to actually hit him. I don't think he, like, bladed during that.
Sure. He just, you know, got hit with a stray. It happens in those, especially when there's so many, like, fists and stuff flying and whatnot. Like, it's possible he just got elbowed by someone trying to, you know, pull him off or just trying to back out of something. So, but I don't recall what did it to him.
Okay. And also, Piledriver finished in the chat with a live update, said that Jordan Oliver just lost to Shibata on, I'm assuming, on Ring of Honor which is also cool. Jordan has been getting a lot of reps recently on Ring of Honor television. So good for him. But yeah, Adam Priest. So I see Priest in the ring, obviously. Any style, Adam Priest, AKA Lemon Pepper Priest. Dude, I'm so like, I talk on the weekend or often about Adam Priest, like almost every weekend, and I have for years. And the thing that I always have been so disappointed about is, like, it's like, I hate saying it so much, but it's the truth. If he was a little bit taller, he would have already been, like, so big in the wrestling world. And, like, I hate that that's the case. And now, like, he needs some opportunities, because, like, he's so damn good in the ring. Every wrestler we've ever talked to about him all has him in, like, the highest regard, literally call him, like, one of the best in-ring wrestlers in the world. Tony Khan himself has called Adam Priest one of the best in-ring wrestlers in the world. And
Bryan Danielson.
Yes. And it's like, and it's just one of those things where it's like, just forget the size, give him opportunities. And I think that's what's around the corner for him, finally. Like, because it's been frustrating being a fan, because, like, he should have already been a household name, like, on either AEW or WWE television, in my opinion, long ago. But better late than never. And it's not like it's too late for him either. He's still a young guy. I don't know what his age is. But it feels like it's been forever, because he's just accomplished everything there is to do on the indie scene over and over and over again, while being one of the best in the game for years. and just never getting like that true opportunity at the next level. And that's what looks like is happening for him right now, which is super, super cool. So I see him in the ring, and at first I'm thinking, oh, that's really cool. They got Adam Priest in an AEW ring. I know he's been doing stuff with Ring of Honor, but like, this is cool. He's in, you know, he's on AEW TV. That's awesome. And then he starts actually getting into it and punching Dax in the ring. And I was like, wait a second. Like, this is more than just like, you never see just like, you never really see that happen in like wrestling history. I can't remember a time where there was like the quote unquote jobbers, like in the ring with security, that were just like breaking up the stars. And one of the quote unquote jobbers, like, just starts beating up one of like the stars. Like, you never see that. And so from that perspective, it was unique also. And then they have the backstage segment where Priest is going to like try to apologize to them. And then they set up the match, as you mentioned. He said it was going to be Billington Jr. Yeah. He's going to be the, I didn't even know his tag team partner was going
to
be yet.
That was announced today.
Okay. So, I mean, that's interesting. Also, for what it's worth, like when I saw Adam Priest there next to FTR, I was like, these guys would be great together too. Like, that would be like a trio. Like, Adam Priest could do great stuff along with FTR. They're very similar, those guys, in a lot of ways. And I'm hyped for it. Like, I hope that something comes of this. I mean, I have to imagine that this is like, you know, I have no idea what his contract status is. I know that like there was reports fairly recently that he wasn't signed, at least as of then, but like, you don't get these opportunities and get like a big match on Collision and stuff if there's not like strong consideration about like you being a part of the company. I feel like, you know, whether it's a more regular thing on Ring of Honor or he really, you know, sparks up something good going for himself on like Speedball in AEW has like been main eventing on like a fairly consistent basis. You know, like, I mean, like he's been like a real part of the show. And stuff. And like, I could see something like that for Adam Priest. If he starts having like a great series of good matches and stuff, like who knows what his future looks like, but I think this is a great start. And I'm glad that Adam Priest is finally getting what feels like a real opportunity on like the main stage. So I'm super happy for the guy.
I hope it leads to, like you said, more for him. Honestly, even if it's a kind of a full-time ROH gig and he becomes one of the almost pillars of ROH, and who still, you know, shows up on AEW television. I think of a guy like Blake Christian who is picking up wins on ROH and building some momentum on ROH, but he's also used in AEW and he loses all the time in AEW, but they know they can trust him in that role for right now. And maybe they advance him at some point in AEW. I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but you know, maybe it happens for him. Maybe it happens for Adam Priest. I think that would be, at the very least, a good spot for him. I don't think, you know, you mentioned Speedball. Speedball came in with a lot of, you know, fanfare and everything. And Priest, because he didn't do like a TNA stint or anything like that, I don't know. I don't think he has quite the level of fanfare that someone like Speedball. Even Kevin Knight had, you know, New Japan stuff to build off of, where Priest just doesn't have that level of stuff. Yeah, the people who know on the indies, certainly like you and a lot of our regulars, then they know Adam Priest. But if you don't know any about that stuff, there's no real even second or third promotion stuff from him. And so I think that's why he won't be in that kind of spot, at least to start. But this is still a great spot. Like, you're getting on television, you're getting a kind of a featured role. Are you gonna win? Probably not. I mean, FTR is gonna win on Saturday, spoiler alert for everybody, but that's all it just kind of takes to at least be used, be seen, and just start having kind of a consistent role on AEW and ROH programming.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that at the end of the match, I could definitely see a scenario where like FTR like endorses Priest, or maybe both those guys, like at the end of the match, like they hold their arm up and like give them like these guys are you don't think so?
They're too heelish right now. They're not doing that. They're too big of heels. I mean, unless they do a endorsement and then attack him afterwards, but they are way too heelish to do shake hands, oh, good job type of thing. That would not fit their current iteration of character.
Well, maybe even like, I think you're right. Maybe even just I'm kind of thinking like, I would like to see Adam Priest like join those guys potentially, which would like Adam Priest going heel, you know, like they wouldn't have to do the full on endorsement, maybe just like nod at him on the way out or something after they beat him or something. I don't know. But I just feel like this isn't happening for no reason. Like they just like randomly picked Adam Priest to be in this spot against these guys. Like, I feel like there's just more to it, but you know, I'm looking forward to the tag team match. I'm not really sure how Dynamite Kid or did they market him as Dynamite Kid?
Kind
Junior
of
or anything?
Yeah.
But I don't know how he factors in because I haven't really seen a whole lot of him on AEW. So I don't know if like maybe they'll start tagging him and Priest maybe if it goes well or something. Those guys are similar in a lot of ways. It could be an interesting tag team. I'm interested. Either way, whatever gets Adam Priest in front of more people and like on like a bigger stage, like I'm all for that.
Yeah, and hopefully it continues to lead to more stuff for Adam Priest. So we shall see. Looking forward to the match on Saturday. I assume they'll get some good time. I assume it'll be a good match. All right, let's get into our other spotlight.
Our product is what it is. We're going straight up the middle.
In about just over 4 hours, Athena will hit 1,000 days as the ROH Women's Champion. She retained her title against Mina Shirakawa at Death Before Dishonor, and she will be 1,000 days as the champion, Jensen. The forever champion, Athena.
Yeah, I mean, good for her. The main thing that's kind of been frustrating as someone who likes Athena, as it is with everybody, is that she just hasn't been featured up until more recently, hasn't been featured like hardly at all on AEW TV, but like has like almost secretly been having this legendary reign with this women's championship and Ring of Honor, having great matches. I've always really liked her as a performer, like her as Ember Moon in the WWE. I think her finishing move, but the O face in AEW. I always forget when they switched
the O face. Yeah.
What was it in WWE? Now I'm forgetting the name of it. The Eclipse.
Eclipse. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, the O face. That move's awesome. That's such a sick move.
Yeah.
But you know, I think my favorite part of her run has been her, like, you know, as a big Billy Starks fan, it's been really cool seeing like Billy under her wing. And there's been many times throughout the years at this point where it really seemed like Billy was gonna like the things were going to end between them, or that Billy was going to beat her for the championship. I can't remember what show it was. I think it was their, it had to have been like their rematch of what pay-per-view. It was already like a handful of months ago already, but it was Billy and Athena main evented. And I was sure that Billy Starks would win the title that night. And even though I really wanted her to,
final battle the past 2 years.
Oh, it was both. Yeah, that's right. It was kind of final battle both years. I knew it was. I knew it was the rematch. Like this. Like I really thought she was going to win this, the most recent one.
Yeah, it was final battle 2 years ago as well. Almost 2 years ago now.
And that's wild that that's been going on for so long. And I still feel like Billy Starks probably should be the one to eventually beat her for the belt. Maybe it'll happen at the next final battle. Who knows? But, There's a lot to be said about that, and there's a lot to be said like from like more than just like as a wrestler, like as like a human being and stuff, like to trust somebody to be the face of your whole division for that long. It just says a lot, you know. Obviously Tony Khan holds her in very high regard, as he should. It's just unfortunate that like her talents haven't been used in AEW as much as I think that they probably should have been, because I think she could be a real major asset to, not that AEW's women's division is bad. I think they have a lot of really good women in AEW as well, but Athena makes that division, like Athena automatically makes whatever division she's in like way better automatically, because like she's so good, and you automatically can plug her in against any woman on any roster and you're gonna have good matches. So like And she's over. Like, she stays over. Like, she always looks cool. Like, she's got, like, as the kids say, the aura. Like, she's got, like, really cool aura and stuff. Like, Athena's awesome. So, like, good for her. When she joined AEW, if you would have told me she was going to just, like, be in Ring of Honor and be the women's champion for 1,000 days, I'd be like, what? I mean, what are you talking about, really? Not that I don't like her, but that, like, I just never would have seen that coming because I would have thought she'd be doing a lot more in AEW. But, you know, good for her. They pretty much put the entire Ring of Honor brand, like, on her back for the majority. Like, they've had, you know, pockets of time where, like, you know, Samoa Joe was there a lot and stuff, like, you know, Jericho, so on and so forth. But, like, Athena's really been the backbone of that brand, like, since Tony Khan's owned it.
Athena has almost been the brand since Tony Khan has owned it. I mean, Jericho was the champion, but he never really appeared on the TV shows. Bandito's at least showing up on some ROH shows, but Athena's the one person you could kind of on to be there most weeks, have actual storylines, and have feuds that peak at the pay-per-view. So yeah, she's been the brand since Tony Khan bought it.
Yeah, you're right. Congratulations to her. Got nothing but respect for her. It's awesome. And I hope that it elevates Billy at the end of the day too. Like, I hope at some point, like, it's all, I can't say worth it because, like, it's already been worth it for both of them. Like, both have massively benefited. Like, Athena's had this incredible run and Billy has had, like, a great kickstart to, like, her young career on the main, like, on, like, a main level show. It's just wild because she's been wrestling since she was, like, 13 years old. So she's already, like, a veteran who's only, like, 20, which is so crazy. But, you know, I think that I think it's been really good for both of them, for everybody involved in, like, the whole, like, kind of, like, Minion. We didn't even talk about, like, the Blue Meanie randomly coming back. Like,
that was great.
But, yeah. So, yeah, good for her. I'm very happy for Athena. She rules.
Yeah, we love Athena here on this show and elsewhere. If you don't love Athena, I mean, come on. What's wrong with you? When I went to Dynamite last month, you know, she was ringside for the four-way match, and we were just, like, bantering during the match because Billy got hit and she rolled out, like, right in front of us, and I just yelled at her, like, Billy, Mouse isn't gonna like that. And Athena just cracked a smile, and then Athena's, like, yelling at her of, like, come on Billy. I was like, you taught her better than this, Athena. And she's like, I know, what is wrong with these kids today? I was like, it's not your fault, Athena. It's not your fault. She's like, I know, like, these high school kids, they just can't teach them anything. They were just bantering back and forth during the match. If you go back and watch that, I don't know if any of it picks up or anything, but Athena's great. And I have very limited interactions with her, but she's fantastic in the very limited interactions that I have had with her. That was my spotlight. The other spotlight is, why did my mind just blank? Oh, Paul Walter Hauser, QT Marshall, Fight Without Honor at Death Before Dishonor. This match ruled. QT Marshall, Wrestler of the Year, just all killer, no filler with QT. Everything he's in is great. What did you think of this match, Jensen?
Yeah, I was talking about it last week on the preview, how I had really high hopes for it because of, like, how good QT has been in matches with, like, the Big Boom people and stuff. Paul Walter Hauser rules. Like, this guy is awesome. Like, I've been watching, because once again, he's been doing this on the indie scene for a while now and in MLW. Like, he's had these types of matches. He had, like, an MMA match against, like, Timothy Thatcher or something, like, maybe Riddle or someone. He's had, like, such a wide variety of matches. No, it was him and Filthy Tom Lawler. That's who it was. It was him and Filthy Tom Lawler had, like, an MMA style match at one point, or was in an MMA cage. Paul Walter Hauser is literally down for, like, anything in pro wrestling. And I respect it so much because he's a lifelong fan. I saw him on the Helwani show getting interviewed, like, a couple months ago or whatever it was. And I think I brought it up on this show too, but, like, he makes the case for Jericho being the greatest of all time, or one of the GOATs in wrestling. And automatically I have that bond where I'm like, dude, if you're out there calling for Jericho being the GOAT, Like, you're only a like hardcore lifelong wrestling fan would have him in that conversation. Like, a lot of other people, like the surface level people, are going to always say like Austin, The Rock, you know, that kind of stuff. Hogan, so on and so forth. But like, when you start naming people like Chris Jericho in the interviews, I'm like, okay, yeah, you love wrestling. And this guy has no real reason to do any of this, because he's like an incredibly successful actor. So not only is he getting involved in wrestling because he obviously loves it, and he's not just like barely dipping his toe in, like he's having matches like what we saw where he's bleeding all over the place. He's going through glass. That was real glass, Cry Me a River. I mean, that was the realest glass I've ever seen. But he's going through tables. What do they call that move? Kennedy used to do it.
The rolling senton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did Mr. Kennedy call it? It had like a Packers reference. The Lambeau Leap or something. He called it something like that. Green Bay Plunge, maybe.
I think it was Green. Was it Green Bay Plunge? Was it that, or was that his Swanton that he called that?
Regardless, you know what move I'm talking about. Like, he did one of those off the ring apron to the outside through a table. Like this guy, you guys killed it. The finish of the match was a diamond cutter off the top rope through a table that I think had glass on it. Yeah, this was awesome. Like, and I've talked about it before too. Paul Walter Hauser, years ago, he's like unrecognizable, but like, he was Richie the Juggalo in one of my favorite episodes of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, this guy has like his fingerprints on, like, it's so crazy because I didn't know who he was until wrestling, because I started seeing him popping up on indie shows, and they'd be like, this guy is like, I don't know how it works, like Golden Globe or whatever, and he has like the trophy, like Emmy Awards and all this stuff. I don't really know much about how any of that works, to be honest. But now when I go back and watch random like Key and Peele sketches on YouTube, like he'll randomly like pop up as like one of the actors and stuff. Like, and it's just like, I've seen him like everywhere now. I haven't ever seen Cobra Kai, but my brother saw Paul Walter Hauser wrestling, and he was like, dude, that's the guy from Cobra Kai. Like, he wrestles. And now my brother's like trying to find all of his matches because he's a fan of him from that show. Like, so my point is, the guy's a very successful actor, which is super cool that he wants to like give back to pro wrestling at all. But like, you know, he's getting in the ring, he's having great matches against a variety of opponents and a variety of situations and a variety of companies. When he's not doing that, he's on like the panelists sometimes for like pre-shows and post-shows for a lot of these companies and stuff. So it's just like, I just have like mad respect for a guy like that. Like, just like, he doesn't really have to, like, these companies would be happy if he literally just came in, was in the front row and waved to the crowd, and they could be like on their social media, like, Paul, Golden Globe winner Paul Walter Hauser is in attendance. Like, that would be enough for a lot, like how Post Malone shows up front row for stuff like that. Like, him just being there would be like more than enough for like his level of celebrity or whatever. But like, it's like, no, he's gonna be in the arena, and whether there's, you know, 20,000 people in attendance or there's, you know, 10 people literally in attendance in an indie show, he's going to go out there and he might go through glass, they were using barbed wire chairs in this match. Like, they were using thumbtacks. Like, they used everything. Yeah, this was awesome. And I don't want to take away from QT, as you mentioned, QT Marshall, who was on the show not too long ago too. Super nice guy, great interview. I think that, you know, both those guys knocked it completely out of the park. Like, that was my favorite match of Death Before Dishonor. I loved this match. I thought they completely exceeded I had high expectations going into it, honestly, and they exceeded those expectations. I thought the match was going to be over like halfway through when it ended. Like, they introduced like a couple of the weapons, and I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be kind of cool. Hit them with a couple weapons. The match went on for another like 10 minutes, and I was like, this is insane. So, yeah. I'm assuming you like, well, you already mentioned you like this match as well, but yeah, this match ruled.
QT Marshall, wrestler of the year. I continue to say it. I don't know, like, if Paul Walter Hauser, you know, like, moves the needle or anything. Like, I don't know if you're getting like Jelly Roll has a giant fan.
Yeah, sure. Him and Post Malone are like humongous. I get that.
Yeah, like I don't know if there are Paul Walter Hauser stands out there that are like, I'm gonna watch this wrestling show because Paul Walter Hauser is on it. I have no idea.
There are
the fact that
I don't know how many, but they're out there. I'm sure they're out there.
But the fact that like he does clearly love wrestling and he's willing to commit to things like this, like I give him all the marks in the world for doing it in this fashion. Because yeah, he doesn't have to. Even if like he doesn't bring in a ton of new viewers, even if I do think like he does get attention. Obviously, he's a Hollywood star. I mean, he's in Cobra Kai. We love Cobra Kai. So he definitely gets some type of attention. I just don't know how much. I don't know how much he's fully bringing in. But the way he commits to it and what he actually goes through, got nothing but respect and praise for all of that. And I said it to QT. I love the Big Boom AJ feud. QT is one of those guys where, you mentioned earlier with Becky Lynch, you know the baseline of what you're getting with QT. And then he can easily overperform that, especially if you put him in a setting like this. QT is a trustworthy guy who is going to lead you through a solid match. And then if you have the right ingredients to go along with that, and for New Jersey with Full Gear, it was, it was the hometown and Big Boom being just as solid and getting the reaction there. And for this, it was all the smoke and mirrors and the hardcore elements of that. When you have that kind of stuff in there, you can elevate it to the next level. But QT is a guy that you need someone to make sure you can get through it. Okay, put QT out there.
Yeah, incredibly reliable. Incredibly reliable.
He and, did say, Paul Jarrett finisher, Paul Walterhauser like basically did confirm he got like kind of knocked out on that. Definitely got the wind knocked out of him on the powerbomb to the tacks. Like he definitely was a little shaken up on that one, but you know, it happens. It's wrestling.
Yeah, that was a tough one too, because that was like in like the corner of the ring, like near the, like where the ring is a bit harder than like in the center. And yeah, you're trying to like tuck your head in. I'm sure I don't know the intricacies of like I'm not a worker, brother, but like you can tell, like, you know, especially when you're gonna land in a thumbtack, you really want to keep your chin tucked so like your head doesn't land in the tacks. So I'm sure he's trying to like factor all that in. Lands in a hard part of the ring, has his chin tucked, big impact on his back and his neck, kind of on the way down, trying to protect himself. I mean, there's like a trillion things that could have gone wrong in a match like that, you know. Like, so it's I'm happy. And then he did get the endorsement from QT after the match, where QT gave him.
Yeah, that I actually didn't love. Like, I would have just preferred QT continue to be QT and be a dick to him, honestly. But I don't think like QT is gonna have a big role moving forward. So they were probably just like, do the endorsement, because it's not like we're gonna use you as our top heel moving forward, and Paul Walter Hauser is probably not coming back. So I understand why they did it. I just be a heel. It's fun.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Let's move on to the indie spotlight, our final topic of the night.
I'm gonna give a big motherfucking shout out.
Bobby Orlando winning the Wrestling Open Championship at Wrestling Open, or Beyond Wrestling, Americanrana. We love Bobby Orlando, but your thoughts on Bobby Orlando winning the title, Jensen?
Yeah, wanted to make that the indie topic for today, the indie spotlight for today. Americanrana, one of the big shows of the big indie shows of the year each year, especially like pre-AEW, people might not understand, like Beyond Wrestling was like one of like the main indies that a lot of like the top talent like kind of congregated to, especially for the big shows like Americanrana, and a lot of big names who are like now especially part of like AEW's roster, like Chris Statland or like Orange Cassidy, like a lot of these people were regulars in Beyond Wrestling. So it was a big show, you know. It's a lot of matches. So I think there's like 15 matches on the card this year. They had like a full pre-show on YouTube for free, which was cool. It was like five matches, and I think it was 10 matches for the IWTV portion for the main card, if I remember correctly. The main event, there was like a lot of history with, because the Shook Crew, which is the team who was, you know, Bobby Orlando and Bryce Donovan, they wrestled each other in the main event. So this has been like brewing for like over a year. You know, they had a really good kind of like blow off to this whole thing with Bobby Orlando beating Bryce Donovan for the championship in the main event of their biggest show of the year. You know, beyond wrestling, this is the Wrestling Open title. People might not know, like, Wrestling Open is like a regular, I think it's weekly even. It's on often on IWTV. So you can kind of check that out. And if you want to go back on like IWTV's Code Fight Talk, but you can, you know, check out, you know, kind of like the back catalog and see what led up to the main event. But if I remember correctly, kind of most like the big things in the main event, Ryan Clancy got involved, who has the best drop kick in the game. Him and Okada is obviously up there too. Okada is known for his drop kick, but Fancy Ryan Clancy's got a beautiful drop kick. He competed earlier in the night. He came out during the match. He kind of teased that he was going to help Bryce Donovan, but ultimately drop kick Bryce Donovan. His finish was a drop kick. That's how nice it is. And then, like, at the end of the match, Bryce Donovan, like, tried using his title belt, and ultimately Orlando super kicked him, elbow drop off the top, won the championship. It's been a long feud. There's a lot of history between those guys, and it was a really good match. It was a long match, too. I want to say the match was, like, I don't have cage match up, but I think that it was probably around a half hour, maybe, like, 25 minutes or something, if I remember correctly. It was a long match. But it was really good, and it capped off a really long show, and the crowd was like still totally into it, which also says a lot. You've watched 15 matches and the crowd still pops big for Orlando winning the championship at the end of the show. So good stuff from Beyond Wrestling. Congratulations to the most goated Bobby Orlando.
And Bobby Orlando rules. So happy to see him win a championship there. All right, Jensen, let's get out of here. Watch some football. Anything you want to plug?
No, it's happy football season is here. Programming update to everybody. I'm just going to let everyone know right now. I'll remind everybody over the next month, and plans could potentially change. But if you're a fan of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast, the show is going to be going on an indefinite hiatus after September. So after 7 years of doing the show, September is probably going to be the end of it. Doors open to potentially bring it back. But I do want everyone to know that is a fan of that show, that has enjoyed that show. I appreciate all of y'all, and you will have episodes throughout September. I'll upload those on Mondays, possibly Sundays, but most likely Mondays throughout September. And then I'll give y'all a heads up for the final show at the end of September. And like I said, maybe we'll bring it back at some point in the future, but I've really loved the 7-year run that I had. I'm very proud of it, and I've loved being able to cover indie wrestling to, you know, the degree I have there, and then I can obviously, you know, bring a lot of that knowledge onto this show too. And I'll always be an advocate for independent pro wrestling and want to be involved to some degree and interview these wrestlers and stuff and be, you know, part of it to whatever degree I can. But for those of you who enjoy the Weekender, enjoy this month, because this is the end at the end of September. So please tune in over there on FightfulSelect.com for all of September and check out the Weekender.
There you go. Jensen, I sorry about the news. I heard about it. The Weekender was an easy way to get an introduction to independent wrestling. But we're going to continue to talk about independent wrestling here on the show. We're going to continue to have interviews with independent wrestlers here on this show. So you're not going to lose any independent coverage. You're going to lose a little bit of independent coverage from Jensen, but we're still going to talk plenty of indie wrestling here.
Yeah, and just because I'm not going to be doing the Weekender doesn't mean I'm not going to have my eyes on all these companies that I've been paying. You don't do what I did for the last 7 years and then just like stop watching indie wrestling. Like I'm way too in deep at this point. And like I said, I can't stress it enough. Like, if the time is right in the future, but I mean, to do anything for 7 years, like, what do you think about that? That's a long time. I was living in Nashville when I accepted that position and stuff, and I was working for MMA on Point. So much has changed in the last 7 years. But I'm grateful for the opportunity to do this show. I love doing the show, and it's no hard feelings, no sour grapes. Like, me and Sean briefly talked about it. We were both honestly on the same page about it, and like, it's all good. So like, you know, nothing but love for Fightful, for Sean, for Fightful Select. Continue to support Fightful Select. There's, even though I won't be a part of it after this month, there's still a lot of value there. And I urge people to help support, you know, the people. That's how people like me, like others on this platform, on Fightful Overbooked and so on and so forth. A lot of that money, full transparency, comes from people being subscribed to FightfulSelect.com. So it is, you're really helping out massively. You're helping out more than just like the website. You're helping out more than just Sean or Jimmy Van. Like, you're helping out people like me by, you know, being subscribed and helping us out that way too. So that's my main thing is like, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. That's the best way, honestly, to support the people at Fightful.
You're not helping out Jimmy at all with FightfulSelect.com. You're helping out mainly me, honestly. So yeah, subscribe to Fightful Select to help support me and Jensen. And yeah, the writing team, honestly, the writing team is kind of who gets the biggest kind of support out of all that. And I am a big part of the writing team. So keep subscribing to FightfulSelect.com. Kenny Omega just basically confirmed our story. I don't know why people were saying that he didn't confirm it, but you know, Omega, yeah, basically just confirmed the story that we just reported. So there you go, everybody. All right, folks, we're going to get out of here. We're going to watch some football. We appreciate everybody in the weeds. Back tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. We got Matthew Justice at 11, and we're kicking off the show with Deonna Purrazzo and Steve Macklin at 10 a.m. Eastern. Go back, watch the Bishop Dyer / Baron Corbin interview that we did today on the show. Go back and watch the Dijak interview. That's up as a standalone that we did yesterday. Appreciate it, everybody. We'll talk to y'all later on. Bye, everyone.
Skol Vikings.